Welcome back to That 590 Show. Hope everybody is having a fantastic Friday. Playing the song in homage to our friends over at We Are Live. Have a text coming in from the 618. When people make the ridiculous argument about who the best player ever is, you never hear people talk about Michael Jordan's defense. When he wanted to, he could flat out shut somebody down and still produce at the other end. And LeBron couldn't?
Yeah, I mean, Jordan has Defensive Player of the Year
he
awards.
He does. That's one thing that's always eluded LeBron.
Never gotten that.
But there's been times when LeBron should have won it. We're going to talk over it right now.
At the same time, you know, Jordan had the luxury of also not having to shut down the best player at any point in his career.
Jordan was a great defender. I'm not saying he wasn't.
But I'm saying is he could step away from it. LeBron has always been the best defender on his team. Jordan could step away and he had Scottie Pippen, who was, you know,
perimeter defender.
Exactly.
It's not like LeBron's James Harden out there. But let's talk it over right now with our friend Shane Young from bballbreakdown.com. You can follow him on Twitter at YoungNBA. Shane, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Today is a great day. We have the Finals Trilogy, and I'm working on my series preview that I've been doing all week, so I cannot wait to release it.
Too bad that the first game will not be until over a week away. I'm disappointed that we got to wait that long, but I guess it's just more hype. And I think this long layoff, I think it hurts the Warriors because we saw what happened the last time they had a game one after a long layoff. I think this kind of hurts Golden State. What do you think?
I gotta disagree on that just because their long layoff, they couldn't prepare for the Spurs defense. The Spurs have the best defense in the NBA, or they did. But they're going against, you know, a defense that is not as stout, not as disciplined. They don't have a defender like Kawhi Leonard. LeBron's been slacking a little bit. I think that they're ready for him now. I think it's gonna help Steph and Klay especially Klay. Klay's been in a big slump. He's shooting like 35% from two-point range, which is absurdly terrible. So I think this layoff will kind of help them reset their minds.
And I agree with you that San Antonio is a better defensive team than what Cleveland is. But that Cleveland offense, when they want to click, they're better than what San Antonio is. So if they want to get into a shootout with Golden State, which I would almost never recommend, but if they can do it, I mean, you don't know. Steph could have a cold shooting night, and so could Klay. I know Kevin Durant, sometimes he may be good enough to beat them, just him and Draymond Green, those two alone. But
yeah.
I think that if Cleveland's got a best chance, has a really good chance of stealing one, it's going to be game one.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that as well. Like, game one is whenever the Warriors just kind of sit back and fill out the opponent. LeBron's been known to do that, too, in his finals. He lost a lot of game ones. I think he lost one to the Spurs, lost one to the Thunder, lost – they beat the Mavericks. So he's lost a lot of game ones in his finals career.
He has. Go ahead.
This is his eighth finals appearance, which is ridiculous, seventh straight, but eighth overall, and he has a chance to go three – or he has a chance to either be 3-5 or 4-4. And I'm going to tell you, if he gets to 4-4, I've already said on Twitter, I think that he's the greatest player of all time, the greatest legacy of all time if he beats this Warriors team. But he has to do it in order to get there.
And what kind of odds do you have him beating this Warriors team? Because I don't think Vegas gives him much of a chance the way you're kind of chuckling. I have a feeling that you don't give him much of a chance either. And I think what's going to be unfair is that if he does lose this finals, everyone's going to be like, yep, here we go. LeBron can't get it done. Jordan wouldn't have lost to these guys because the hero worship of Michael Jordan, and I loved Michael Jordan growing up when I was a kid, but the way that everybody's kind of rewritten his history is amazing to me.
Yeah, I kind of think that he's not invincible at the top. I mean, he can be overtaken. I thought for a while, I was a big Kobe stan growing up. So, of course, in 2009, 2010, or 2011 era, I thought Kobe could eventually overtake him, but that didn't happen. Kareem didn't get, you know, Kareem and Magic aren't even above him. I think that LeBron's the only one who has a chance. And, you know, if you ask me what the odds are, I would honestly, if you're a listener from Cleveland or if you're a Cleveland fan, just please turn this off because I'm gonna hurt you. I think that the Warriors have like a 95% chance of winning the series. I just don't see any scenario that the Cavs can just lock down for four wins. Like maybe one win, maybe two wins. You know, maybe it gets to seven, but I just don't see how they can beat this team four times. And the here's the difference between this year and last year. Last year they were up 3-1 without the second best player in the world. That to me it ends right there. But if you want to go further, just think about all those nights, especially Game 7 last year, that the Warriors only scored 89 points and they were stone cold from the field. The Warriors were cold in a few of those finals games. When that happens, they had Harrison Barnes on the wing. Now they have Kevin Durant to just get the ball to and get you some free throws. I think just the free throws alone and just the easy points that KD will accumulate when Steph and Clay are cold is the reason that they're going to win easily.
I believe there was one stretch during the Western Conference Finals into the finals where Harrison Barnes went 6 of 40 from open looks from behind the arc. Just imagine if you replace even half of those looks with Kevin Durant taking the shot instead. And right there you have a couple finals games where the Warriors finish with 6 or 9 more points just because of the replacement you made on that one player.
I think that LeBron, to be honest, people think that I just don't like LeBron. That's not the case. I think LeBron's going to average 38 to 40 points. If he really wants to, I think he's going to take a lot of shots. He's going to shoot about 45% from the field. He's going to average about 40 points a game these finals. I just don't know if that's enough because, I don't trust Kyrie to have stellar games across the board in all these games. I mean, he's going to slip up a couple times, maybe the first two in Golden State. So you need the others. You need Kevin Love. You need Iman Shumpert, Jarrett Smith, Richard Jefferson, Kyle Korver to pitch in. And a lot of those guys can't play defense. So that's the problem. The Warriors, they have a lot of two-way players. I mean, the Cavs, a lot of offense. What do they have? 3-plus defenders? LeBron, Tristan might be a plus defender, and Iman Shumpert's a plus defender. That's it. Everyone else is either average or below average.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Shane. If I heard earlier that if this Cleveland team should win the NBA title, it'll be the first time ever that a team with that poor of defensive metrics, like in the bottom third of the league, will win the NBA title. Like, that's how bad they are defensively. We kind of saw them turn it on a little bit during the playoffs, and that's what everybody was kind of speculating on, whether or not they could flip the switch on the defense. And they kind of did against inferior opposition, but I just don't see that happening against Golden State. When you're talking about Steph Curry, you're talking about Klay Thompson, you're talking about Durant, you're talking about Draymond Green, I just think they have too many horses.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a simple formula that you could just use for the series, and it is if Draymond Green shoots over 34 or 35% from three, the Warriors will win the series. And that's just hands down, because when Draymond is shooting threes and he's hitting them, it's unguardable, because if you put him at center, he's going to stretch out Tristan, stretch out Kevin Love, stretch out any player the Warriors have or the Cavs have on him, and that's going to open a lot more space for Durant to attack one-on-one. So, I mean, if Draymond is struggling from three, you give him a little bit of space and you double up, not really double up, but you just send help to KD, then it becomes tough. On Christmas, Dray was missing a lot of the shots. He had a bad game altogether, and the Cavs ended up coming back and winning that game because they could defend the Warriors a little bit better. But whenever they got blistered by 35 in Oakland in January, Draymond was hitting the shots. Everyone was connecting from three. I mean, I think Draymond Green's the most important player in this series.
Shane Young from BBallBreakdown.com joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at YoungNBA. Shane, if let's say that right now I think the nightmare scenario for the NBA is that the Golden State Warriors were to sweep the Cavaliers in the finals because they've already made the regular season rendered them useless or unwatchable, and then the playoffs they've blown everybody out. They had one close game, and that was Game 1 against San Antonio. Other than that, they didn't really have any close games. If they blow out the best team out of the East, then what's the point of even watching the NBA next year?
I do think, I'm a big NBA just, like apologist. Like, I will just defend it to the death, and I don't care what goes on. I don't care if it's all blowouts. But I do agree that for the bigger, broader picture, the audience in America will not like this. And if it's a four-game sweep and every game is a 10-point win, that's going to be bad. And I think that Adam Silver, as much as he wants to praise and say, we're seeing two teams at the peak of their powers, this is excellent for the league, he knows that the NBA values quantity over quality. They need more games. They need 6 or 7 games in order to for the owners to be successful and everything, and to draw in viewership for the TNT and for ABC and everything like that. I think that Adam Silver will know that the fans will not be pleased if it's a 4-game or 5-game, shutdown by the Warriors. And I guess what the NBA does have working for it is that free agency now is kind of like another season, and fans actually care more about free agency than they do the NBA Finals. That's what I figured out. So I think that kind of helps that you have the draft right after the Finals. If the Warriors sweep, it's like a week or two after, and then you have free agency. So, I mean, I think the general interest is going to be still high in the NBA, but, of course, the sweep is bad. So.
Kevin Durant is saying that you can't blame him for the lack of parity in the NBA, and I'm quoting from an article on ESPN.com. I can't play for every team, so the truth of the matter is I left one team. It's one more team that you probably would have thought would have been a contender. One more team, I couldn't have made the entire East better. I couldn't have made everybody else in the West better. Well, I mean, you could have made it a little more competitive, though. I mean, you did leave a team that probably had a good chance of knocking out the Warriors this year had everybody stayed healthy, had he stayed with Oklahoma City. Let's say he decides to go back to Washington and he teams up with Bradley Beal and John Wall. You're trying to tell me that those three couldn't maybe have a chance of knocking out LeBron and the Cavaliers? Or maybe let's just say he goes to Minnesota and he pairs up with Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins and Chris Dunn up in the North. So absolutely, Kevin Durant, I think, is a lot to blame for almost all of this.
Yeah, I kind of agree that he's to blame for the Western Conference part of it. Because, I mean, if you remember, his first meeting was with the LA Clippers. And the Clippers brought Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan in there and said, look, we don't have a lot of salary cap space, so we could get all four of us on the same team, but our bench would be pretty bad. And Durant just didn't want any part of that. So, I mean, if he went to the Clippers, that obviously makes the West a bit stronger. You have the Spurs, you have the Clippers. The Warriors, the Rockets. I mean, the West would be pretty great if that happened. But let's talk about out East. I think the best thing for the NBA would have been if Durant went to the Celtics or the Wizards. That would have been great for the NBA because then we'd have competition out West with the Warriors and Spurs in the West Finals, and then the Wizards with a chance, or the Celtics with the actual chance to beat LeBron. That series, those series would go to 6 or 7 games, and it'd be a fun, awesome battle to watch. But I kind of agree with you, but also then Durant is kind of right that he didn't make all these bad decisions, like with the Nets, like the Celtics not going after Jimmy Butler or Paul George. Like he is not to blame for a lot of what's going on out East.
No, he's not, but he is someone who joined a team that just won 73 games and was, you know, one win away from winning a second finals in a row.
That's true, but he's also not responsible for a season when the NBA essentially broke economically with the contracts it handed out this past summer, and that was the fault of the owners for not having the foresight of realizing that letting the cap, instead of jumping up progressively every year, letting it have one huge jump created a huge amount of money. I don't think the Warriors are able to pull, I don't know if the Warriors, at least not, and if they are able to pull it off, they have to shed other useful players. Without that huge jump, I don't know if the Warriors have enough without going a huge money into the tax to get Kevin Durant flat out last year. If there's that huge jump next year, or if they spread out the cap jump, I don't know if the Warriors have enough in the first place. So if you look at a wider scope and look at what made it possible just financially for anyone in the league to make that kind of move, it's not Kevin Durant's fault.
Okay, but let me ask you this though. Let's say Kevin Durant decides to stay in Oklahoma City, or let's say he doesn't, but let's say he doesn't join Golden State. There's still a pretty good chance that we're going to get the same result that we're getting right now, right?
He certainly exacerbated it, but he didn't. Let's not blame the guy.
Shane, we already got your finals prediction. How many games and who's going to be MVP?
I have not. My pick will be out tomorrow in terms of like how many games. I'm struggling between 4 and 5 with Golden State. If you hold a gun to my head and tell me my family is up for this, I would say that I would say 5.
Okay.
But also if it's 2-0 and it's like huge blowouts in the first two games, that's going to be 4. But I'll say 5. And the MVP, you know what? It's going to be between Durant and Steph. I think Draymond can make a case if he's really stellar defensively. But give me Stephen Curry because he is due for one. He's had a lot of bad finals games out there. So
see, I think it's, I think I'm with you on the Warriors, and I think Kevin Durant's going to win the MVP, the Finals MVP. I just think that he's got, I think he's just got too much that he's got too much writing on it. I guess you could say he's got too much that he wants to prove to everybody else. It seems kind of funny to say considering the team that he's on, but he's gotten a big pass from the media as far as, well, when's Kevin Durant going to finally win a title? And then there's never going to be the asterisk that, well, he had to join with Golden State in order to get it.
Yeah, Matt, are you all ready to say the words? JaVale McGee, NBA champion. Are you ready?
I know I'm ready, but I don't know if Shaq's ready for that.
Shaq is not ready.
And how quickly next year on the NBA on TNT does Shaq throw that in Charles Barkley's face that JaVale McGee's got a ring and he doesn't? First one of the year, second one of the year?
I know Charles picked, I'll say the first one, first segment of the year. Charles Barkley picked the Cavs in six, by the way. So
did he really?
Both he and Shaq. Both he and Shaq picked the Cavs in six.
Hey, you know what? I would love to see Cleveland win it. I think it would be, and I think it would be better for the league. Shane, have a great Memorial Day weekend. We appreciate your time as always, sir.
You too. Thank you, guys.
That is Shane Young from bballbreakdown.com. You can follow him on Twitter at YoungNBA. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Nick Hand from stlsportspage.com. Talk about the Stanley Cup Finals. We're going to go from the hardwood to the ice. Right here on That 590 Show, 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.